Welcome to Boardroom Talk. I'm Alec Hogg. Big story today. We're going to talk about a diplomatic train wreck in the United States that has been, well, finally put back on track with a just brilliant appointment by Cyril Ramaphosa. It's not often that we give the president of South Africa a double thumbs up, but my goodness, this is one time we must. If you've been following the international media and picking up all the information that comes through to us on a real-time basis nowadays, you've got to be feeling a little bit despondent about our country's place in the world. So often it feels like this is a geopolitical chessboard where we're playing draughts and not doing it very well either. Own goals, shoot your feet off. Call it what you like, we have not been doing this terribly well, putting ideology way above economic interests of a country that desperately needs economic growth and foreign investment is required to make that happen. But you've got to then be able to step back and say, my goodness, when you have some good news, well, applaud it. And the appointment that came through last night by the ANC government of Ralph Meyer as the new ambassador to the United States has got to go down as one of the best decisions that Cyril Ramaphosa has made in his entire presidency since he stepped into the hot seat in 2018. My goodness, if you think about that, what's it, 7 years ago? Anyway, Ralph is 78-year-old. He's a 78-year-old. I know him. I've met him. I haven't spoken to him for quite some time. We've had various interviews with him through my colleague, Linda van Torburg, who actually knows Ralph far better. But Ralph was a regular participant in what we used to call the Ibantla. This was a supper club that we had four times a year, and we would go away for a long weekend with partners for the long weekend. The supper club was restricted to chief executives and high-ranking government officials and also a number of, well, people who really shook the boat. I remember Sam Shiloh coming to a few, Tito Mboweni. We had Jacob Zuma twice, and Rolf was there pretty much every event because he was a business leader. And that's been the interesting part about this appointment that many people will forget. Rolf is a sensible individual. We know that. He served in the apartheid government as a very senior member of F.W. de Klerk's cabinet. He was the man from the National Party side who negotiated with Cyril Ramaphosa, and only for those of us who were around at the time, pulled the country out of going right over the crevasse that waited on the other side. You have to just remember things like Boy Patong, where members of they were called the Third Force, but who knows, attacked and killed dozens of ANC women, children, men in a desperate massacre that occurred. That could have sparked anything. We had the assassination of Chris Hani on a Sunday morning when he went out to go and pick up his newspaper. A crazy guy who'd been funded by who knows who came along and shot him and destroyed the life of the man who was widely tipped to take over as the next president of South Africa. We had the farmers getting into their buckies and old Mercedes Benzes and driving into Bophuthatswana, as it then was, and indiscriminately shooting at people. That ended in chaos when the Bophuthatswana Defence Force fought back, and the pictures that went around the world were of fat-bellied, khaki-clad individuals lying next to a yellow Mercedes and just before they were executed, begging for mercy. It is a crazy time, and those of us who were there remember it well. And between Ralph Meyer and Cyril Ramaphosa, they pulled a rabbit out of the hat, and we went on to establish a democracy that for most of the last 30 odd years, we do believe has been a very good democracy. It has been sliding. The ANC, like any party that is in power for too long, will start taking the rest of us for granted. But that's all changed now as well. And now we have a government of national unity, or at the very least, we do not have a dominant governing party. And that, for Democrats and for people who are prepared to look at the world in a different way, is a very, very good thing. But let's get back to the appointment of Ralph Meyer. He is not a part of a routine diplomatic reshuffle. We haven't had an ambassador in the United States since the departure of Ebrahim Rasool, a firebrand, a man who was installed into that position. Well, we believe through Jacob Zuma and then endorsed heartily by Joe Biden, and it is pretty clear where his political sympathies lay, and they were certainly not with those who were the new guard who'd taken over in the United States. Rasool attacked Donald Trump from the word go. He said things that if anybody had come into your house, you would have tossed them out. And Trump and his merry men certainly didn't take very long. We know that the straight-talking U.S. Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, is a man who doesn't mince his words when it comes to nations that he views as hostile. Rasool had called Trump and those around him a supremacist movement. Damned stupid. Anyway, he was kicked out. And since then, well, things have been in free fall. The relationships between Pretoria and Washington have never been at a lower ebb. The fallout from that ideological attack from started, I guess, from South Africa's side, but certainly not taken laying down from the Americans, has been, frankly, terrifying. We have a country that is tiny in the global scheme of things. Our GDP is about 1/3 of 1% of the global gross domestic product. It's like a tiny village in a global nation. The United States, by contrast, is about 26%. So call it 75 times bigger than South Africa. South Africa is a developing nation. It's like that little village that needs injections of fresh capital to create new jobs, to create new businesses, and to develop. Well, we haven't been doing that. And so we're sitting on these extraordinary assets, as I discussed earlier in the week, the gas and oil opportunity that we have in South Africa lying fallow, whereas to the northwest of us, Namibia are being described as the next Norway. Namibia has the same geology that we have all the way down the Cape West Coast, and that is being very well invested in with our neighbor and not at all being looked at by South Africa. So enter Ralph Meyer. Well, for first level thinkers and the pundits who've already reacted, showed themselves to be that. These are people who react purely on emotion and surface level optics. They'll look at Ralph Meyer and say, what the hell is Ramaphosa now scraping the bottom of the barrel? Why are you dragging a 78-year-old out of retirement to go and send him off to Washington for one of the most important jobs that you could possibly have? But if you apply what the great investor Howard Marks calls second-level thinking, that is where you see the sheer brilliance of the thinking that has gone through Pretoria this time round. And for that, we should be very thankful that the adults, the grown-ups, have entered or re-entered the room after an absence for a heck of a long time when it comes to foreign relations. Our DERCO, our Department of Foreign Affairs, for want of a better description, has been ideologically driven for so long that we have been backing the wrong horses time after time after time, including at the moment, and to the great detriment of South Africa. You don't have to like what countries do in other parts of the world. You have to love what you do in your own nation. And to shoot yourself in the foot for showing some kind of a support for a regime that you don't really know that well, and take Iran as an excellent example, as Iraj Abedian has unpacked for us, himself an Iranian, a former professor of economics at UCT for some years, former head of economics at Standard Bank, and a entrepreneur of great repute, and for a long time, a trusted advisor to the ANC government. And he's unpacked for us very clearly in words that of one syllables what the Iranian regime is up to. And yet we in South Africa still back them. Craziness. But that's perhaps ending. This appointment of Rolf Meyer tells us that for the first time, the United States, which has been going on a tirade against our country based on the echo chambers of right-wingers who are giving them information that suits their cause, not what suits the nation's cause. And by that, I mean, in the United States, there is this perception that whites are being attacked, especially white farmers are being attacked all the time, that there is a genocidal approach towards these people. And we know that it is very dangerous to be a white farmer. And we know that for political reasons, the ANC has been very slow in protecting these people. And we know that that needs to be addressed, of course. But that is not the reality of South Africa. Whites in South Africa are not being targeted and attacked and made to fear for their lives. There's all kinds of anti or racist legislation which needs to be addressed and indeed is being addressed, perhaps slowly, far too slowly for many of us. But the reality that exists on the ground in South Africa is easy to see when anyone visits this nation of ours. We are a country that pulls together. The opportunity that we have with the local elections coming up and thereafter in the national election in 2029 is to show that we're not racist, and indeed that we can, when we work together like the Springboks under Rossie Erasmus, we can be as good as anyone in the world. But now go back to Rolf Meyer. He'll be walking into rooms in Washington, and the immediate narrative from the Republicans, indeed, is going to be spiked. Their guns are spiked. Consider these optics. How on earth does the MAGA lobby maintain the narrative that the South African government is orchestrating a racial purge when Pretoria's envoy, the man who's sitting in the room, is a white Afrikaner? And a white Afrikaner chosen by the president himself. And not just any Afrikaner. The former constitutional affairs minister of the National Party government that enforced apartheid from 1948 through until 1994. And the man who sat across the table from Cyril Ramaphosa at a time of great stress in our nation's history to negotiate a peaceful settlement. Just by being there, just through his presence, Rolf Meyer will disarm that hostility. He'll spike the guns, as I mentioned earlier. Without speaking a single word, his physical presence will neutralize all those toxic talking points, all the jibber-jabber that has been keeping this antagonism alive, and lay the foundation for something better, for something fruitful, for something concrete that we can develop together. And as we well know, with the highest unemployment rate of any country that really measures it properly, South Africa desperately needs support, help, investment to get over the real issues that are inflicting so many in our country. We've already seen some dividends from this more rational approach, from this introduction of adults into the room. When Brett Bazell, the new US ambassador to South Africa, was at the BizNews conference in March last year, mid-March, only a month ago, he arrived with certain views. Obviously, he'd only been here for 3 weeks, and he was really angry at the Kill the Boer statements or song that had been not ruled as hate speech by our courts. And he expressed himself accordingly. For many of us in South Africa, Kill the Boer is hate speech. I mean, really? What else can you call it? But the fact that the US ambassador suggested that the court was wrong in not ruling in that way sparked a whole diplomatic incident, which somebody somewhere had just been waiting for. Remember, they expelled our ambassador. Boy, were we going to give them a little bit of their own medicine here too. But that's calmed down. Bazell has shown himself to be conservative, sure, and that isn't easy for many people in the South African government to swallow. But he is a man of great rationality. He spent decades building up a business that analyzed media. He knows how the narrative can impact the facts. And he is calm, mature, and a good listener. Now, I tell you all of that because I've met the man. I've spent time with him when he came down to Hermanus, to our conference. He came across, certainly in our conversation, as being someone who wanted to be successful in this role. He's not another high donor individual who is going to be rewarded with a plum ambassadorial post where he can swan around for the next 3 or 4 years. He is a doer, and he came here to repair the relationship between South Africa and the United States. Certainly as much as he could do from the American perspective. When he met with Cyril Ramaphosa earlier this month to present his credentials, there was a notable difference in the hostility that had occurred before. And when he met with Rolf Meyer, which happened in the past month, he came out and said that it was a privilege to learn about Meyer's work in creating South Africa's democracy. If you listen closely to what he said about Meyer and what happened in Pretoria when he presented his credentials, what we're hearing from Bozell is the sound of ice melting. That's unlike the ideologues who are still running Durco, and perhaps that's an area that Ramaphosa, and indeed the whole government of national unity, need to be focusing greater attention on, because the damage these people have done to us, well-intentioned perhaps from their perspectives, but the damage they've done to the economy is incalculable. And they still maintain that they're right and that their role is to tell the rest of the world how to conduct themselves when they're coming from a position of extreme weakness. South Africa is not the moral beacon it was under Madiba's period. Anything but. And you don't have to look very far to understand that reality. But let's get back to Rolf Meyer. In July last year, nearly a year ago, he told the SABC, and I'm going to read this quote directly, because it's an important one. We neglected our relationship with the US over a period of time. We have to get an aggressive relation-building approach towards the United States as soon as possible. Aggressive relationship building. That's what Meyer believes. And anyone who's able to apply second-level thinking will agree with that. My friends, and that's exactly what South African businesses struggling to keep going, let alone to be able to expand. Many of South African businesses being exposed to the United States, or at the very least to US-owned companies, the 600 of them that are operating here, employing hundreds of thousands of people, bringing in enormously important products, software that are needed by any modern economy. Our businesses are trying to Trump-proof their operations. Now they might be able, with a Ruth Mayer in Washington, to start celebrating the good parts of the Republican administration. And the good parts are all related to Trump's background as a businessman. And there you have Ruth Mayer, the businessman, who will be on the other side of the table representing our interests. And that brings us to the so what. So what does this mean for you as a member of the BizNews tribe, as an investor, as someone who wants to build South Africa, as someone who's looking at a country that has undeniable potential, but so many around you'd say has no future? And they're telling your children that as well, and your grandchildren. What does it mean for those of us who want to bring our families back home, who want to see a nation that is peaceful and growing? Well, it means a lot. It means the adults are finally back in the room. It means that the two guys who did more than any other two people during the transition to democracy are working together to potentially reverse the biggest challenge we've had since the early 1990s, when they were very much involved. Ruth Mayer didn't need to take this on. Cyril Ramaphosa could have also gone the easy, softer route by appointing some party hack who just wouldn't rock the boat, some diplomatic reshuffle that would have made everybody within his party comfortable. But that's not what happened here. What happened here was that there is a deliberate effort on behalf of our nation to reset the relationship with Washington. More than three decades later, Ramaphosa called in his old sparring partner to once again save South Africa from another cliff edge. This time an economic and a diplomatic one. So for portfolios, what does it mean? Well, lots of relief regarding AGOA, the Africa Growth and Opportunity Act. We're teetering on the brink. In fact, there are many in Washington who say kick South Africa out. They have abused the rules of the act. Keep the other Africans in, but not South Africa. And that would be very harmful for a huge part of our economy, from the automakers to agriculture, through to our manufacturing base, and who knows, even tourism potentially. For those of us in the BizNews community who prize rational optimism, it's a moment to savor. It's a moment to celebrate. It proves that when our leaders apply second-level thinking, amazing things can happen. We don't always have to be shooting ourselves in the foot. We can act in the national interest, and we can pull things back from the brink. Heavens, we know that example from our sporting prowess and from those times where we have worked together as a nation rather than working for separate interests. It reminds us that we've got deep reserves of sensible leaders in our country. Yes, including some in the ANC. Well, that's your boardroom talk for today. Thanks for being with us. And keep rational, keep optimistic, and know that you can find evidence to support it on biznews.com or on the BizNews TV channel, or indeed on BizNews Radio. I'm Alec Hogg, and once again, it's been my privilege to share this boardroom talk with you. Until the next time, cheerio.